down there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I'm featured in the new publication by Greenspun Media Group. It's called The Sunday, and it comes out on
Sunday.
The Sunday. Joining me, as is customary, Trisha McCrone.
Hello.
The ever beautiful, ever dynamic.
You're so sweet.
Light of my life.
Oh, wow. I love that introduction.
Light of my life.
I have to say, we're kind of countried out.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I've had a lot of country.
The ACMs took over Vegas, and it was very, very cool. They did the Concert for Cause for a few nights there. That was incredible. Had some had an incredible lineup.
Yeah, they did. They did have
it. The night I went was, I think, Daniel Bradbury, Cassidy Pope, Florida Georgia Line,
Rising Stars,
my favorite, and Rascal Flatts.
We had Keith Urban out there. Hunter Hayes was a performer out there. Had a bunch of who else was out there? I think that did the band Perry play out there?
I think so. I think everybody pretty much did.
And I'll tell you what about the band Perry, by the way. Man, do they bring it! They are a force in an arena. They are crazy. I saw them at iHeartRadio. They really are powerful. That's a rock band disguised as a country act. But anyway, we had a nice time this week at the
the
MGM Grand
show, and then we went to the Salute for the Troops, which was very cool.
It's a great concept where they select certain members of the military of all of our armed forces to spotlight during a TV show that will air on May 20th, by the way, on CBS. And these are individuals who are great performers, great singers.
Great singers in their own right,
And they come out and sing with the likes of Keith Urban and Hunter Hayes and
Tim McGraw, Kelly Pickler. Tim McGraw didn't sing with them. It was, oh my gosh, why can't we think of him?
Jason Aldean. Who's the guy with the backward hat? There we go.
Oh, my gosh.
The backward hat guy.
He drives the truck.
Yes.
The guy who drives the truck.
Too bad I didn't cover the ACM.
The guy who drives the truck. That
was
fun.
He won an award for best song.
Yes.
I can't think of his name.
And also Toby Keith.
Yes,
that's the other person
I
was thinking of. Yeah. And also Carrie Underwood performed. I mean, it was a lot. It was fun. Yeah. It was great. It was a lot of country. But
exactly.
And then also I have to give some, since we were, the last 2 weeks we have been, you moved, that's one thing. But
moved.
Then then we had both had a lot going on. It was my sister's birthday, Kat Newton. So happy belated birthday to her.
Yes.
It was Mr. Las Vegas's birthday. Happy belated birthday to him.
Ben, yeah.
And as for taping this, which is technically Wednesday the 9th, today is their 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, my God.
Yes, 20 years ago today, Mr. Las Vegas married my sister.
Wow. They got married in
94.
In 94. What, so they got married in Cleveland?
No, here in Las Vegas.
Oh, they got married in Las
Vegas?
They
got married in the house, the old house, and then it was a Las Vegas Country Club. Or wait, I think it was Las Vegas Country Club. One of the country clubs. It might have been Spanish Trail. It was the Spanish Trail Country Club.
That's in town. Okay.
And West Spanish Trail. Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. I'm really tired today some reason.
I tell you what, I've been fatigued ever since the whole country thing happened. But the big news out of the Country Music Awards, I will tell you, is that it's moving to Dallas for its 50th anniversary.
And let me tell you this, is they kept announcing it. You know, we'll be moving to Dallas. And everybody kept booing, and they kept saying it at every event. Like, it's like you have a lot of locals came out to support. You have a Vegas
audience.
And there
are people who are in Las Vegas on purpose, too.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I mean, no offense to Dallas, but Las Vegas, people love coming to Vegas. And then they keep announcing to a Vegas crowd, we're not coming back.
And
they kept getting booed.
And they're having a great time in Las Vegas. That's a very good point. I'm writing all about the reason why it's moving to Dallas in the Sunday this week. And that's a very good point you make, Trish, because I was astonished by that too.
Yeah, and then even after they got booed, they kept repeating it. Like, it's like, take the hint and walk away with it. I get it for the telecast, they want to say, because Jerry Jones is in the audience.
This was
during
the downtime of the telecast. It wasn't even during the telecast. So I don't know what they just think we're all, but one big happy Texas family.
I tweeted it, as a matter of fact. It was very upsetting.
Right.
I had to tweet it. I got even for Las Vegas.
All right. Well, not on the topic of country music, but on the topic of an old Prohibition throwback speakeasy. Our guest this week is one of our favorites, and she's the featured vocalist in the new project over at Mandalay Bay called 1923 Bourbon and Burlesque by Holly Madison. She's Sky D. Miles, so she will be with us right after Josh Bell and movies, so stick around. I know we will.
Hi, this is Oscar Goodman, the author of Being Oscar, a new book that contains my memoirs, and we're on Cats with a Dish. Yeah!
Why am I here, Sonny?
Because Melina thinks you coached the Cowboys.
I did coach the Cowboys.
And I think you were a bad babysitter.
This city deserves a championship, and I'm the guy that can deliver it.
Well, then we're on the same page, Vince.
Oh, yeah? And keep me in the loop.
Well, there is no loop, all right? There's me doing my job, you doing yours.
That's Kevin Costner as Cleveland Browns general manager Sonny Weaver Jr. and Dennis Leary as the team's head coach in the football drama Draft Day. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Hoping to restore his beleaguered team to glory, Sonny makes a number of unorthodox moves on the NFL's Draft Day. He's also dealing with a pregnant girlfriend and the recent death of his father, but the movie never manages to give Sonny's personal problems as much weight as the office politics. When the negotiations get down to the wire, Draft Day turns genuinely exciting. The rest of the time, it's like sitting in a meeting with your affable but dull boss. I give Draft Day 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the horror movie Oculus, starring Doctor Who's Karen Gillan in an entertainingly unhinged performance as a woman who blames a haunted mirror for her parents' deaths and decides to rid the world of it for good.
My name is Kaylee Ann Russell. The purpose of today's experiment is to prove that the object behind me is responsible for at least 45 deaths in the 4 centuries of its recorded existence.
The movie's premise has the potential to come off as pretty ridiculous, but writer-director Mike Flanagan takes a completely straight-faced approach, and his seriousness pays off with a creepy, well-acted take on some familiar horror ideas. I give Oculus 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is one of the city's great live performers, who is usually on stage at Tropicana Lounge with her band, the Sky Five. But coming up Thursday night, she'll be performing in 1923 Bourbon and Burlesque by Holly Madison. This is the new speakeasy at Mandalay Bay that's taken over the space where 40 Deuce used to be. Welcome back to Cats with a Dish, one of our very favorites, Sky D. Miles.
Good morning, afternoon, good night. I don't know what time they'll be hearing this. Good morning.
It's 9:01 right now,
oh,
Friday night.
Good night. happy night, everybody.
You're on stage somewhere.
You're singing. You're doing something somewhere, that's for
I'm
sure.
I'm somewhere taking off some clothes, singing a song, giving Cats a lap dance for his birthday.
Yeah, taking off some clothes, yours and others.
That is a little bit of a Skyism there.
She gets into it. Now, tell us, Sky, first of all, how you came to be featured in this new project at Mandalay Bay. We've been hearing a lot about it. I've been writing a lot about it.
Right.
It's kind of been a mystery for a while, and then you serendipitously kind of were chosen to be in it. What's happening? How did it happen?
What a blessing it happened. It actually came from my show at Tropicana. We had a press night for the show. I do Tropicana Nights, where we just, you know, added a few dancers and just made it a little bit more like a show than just a regular lounge, Lizard Lounge performance kind of thing. And Holly Madison and Gene Lubas came out that night, and then 2 days later it was like in the paper they were interested.
I wonder who put that in the paper.
Gene is the old artistic director from Viva Elvis.
Correct.
Now, how this happens is knowing people. I heard that Gene was there with Holly.
Right.
And I knew this was no accident. And I called Gene. I said, "What are you guys doing at Sky's show?" And he goes, he said to me, "I love Sky." And we started talking about Sky. I'm glad he loved me.
And
yeah, that's why they were there.
They
Check
loved
it
me. And it just kind of...
Who doesn't love Sky? Everyone loves Sky.
There's some that believe there's some out there, but you need somebody not to love. You need at least one or two haters out there.
There you go. They're just jealous. They're just jealous.
The funny thing is that the first press night at Tropicana got canceled So this date got moved and just happened. So it's all timing and divine, and because they wouldn't have been there per se for that
the other night
that had a little, you know, had different energy and everything because everything had got moved. So I've learned now not to argue so much when things don't go.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, the way you want. You just kind of like, okay. So
and also to be always performing at your top level. Because you never know who's out there,
you never
know.
You know, and I kind of preach that anyway to my band. And, you know, working in lounges is hard. It's like 4.5, 5 hours. You're working, you get tired. You're doing sometimes the same music or people requesting the same songs.
Yeah, talk to her brother-in-law about that one.
Wayne knows. So you have to put on, it's not the same performance, but you have to put on a great performance.
Every
even if there's like five people, sometimes it might be five people, but that one person out of that five could be the person who changes your destiny. So the thing is to be your best at whatever level, performance level, or no matter, you can't perform for the audience, you have to perform with your gift the way it's to be performed.
Yeah, not the size of the audience. So now, how is this new gig going to affect your Tropicana gig?
It's not going to affect it. It's two different vibes. One is
are you going to be doing double duty on some nights?
I'm going to be doing some double duties. I'm like the late. I'm the please. You know, the girls are the tees at Bourbon and Burlesque, and then I come in a little later and I please everybody. So there's a tease, and then there's a please.
Ooh, I like that.
That's the lineup. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a tease. Right. There's a teasers and then there's a pleasers.
Will you go over after the Tropicana? Then is that how it'll work?
On Fridays and Saturdays, I'll go over after midnight, and in different times when I'm off, you know, I have a different schedule. It changes at Trop. But I have usually like local guests. I usually on Fridays and Saturdays I already have a guest or celebrity guest at Trop anyway. So they'll maybe carry my last set. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So Tropicana has been very, very supportive. Fred Hammond's a gospel singer.
Fred Harmon, the ED over there.
Right.
He can sing gospel.
Yes, Fred, you know, has been very supportive. Mr. Y, they've been supportive for a long time with, I'm kind of spoiled over there. So, you know, they said, we'll work it out, you know, and when things don't work out, we'll deal with it at that time. But right now, I'm just, you know, at the Trop, and when it's time for me to go, I'll run over. And it's two different vibes. It's two different energies. I'm rocking out and funking out and doing soul and party music at Trop. And then the Speakeasy is like the 20s and the 30s with a little different twist on it. So it's different. It's different energy, different vibe. But both are fun and both are exciting. So you can go to one, come out to the other, or check me out on another night at Trop and check me out, you know.
So if we go into the Bourbon and Burlesque room at 12:31 a.m., which is when things are apparently going to be...
When the pleaser comes.
Right.
When you start throwing it down. What are we going to see? What are you going to perform, and how are you going to
perform
it? There's no, as I understand it, there's no dedicated actual stage necessarily in this place, is there?
Except there's for the band? There's some wood that the band is going to stand on top of.
Okay, but you're going to be...
So is it kind
winding
of
around the room?
Is
right?
it kind of the same setup as it was at 40 Deuce? Where
I never made it to 40 Deuce, but I don't think they've changed a lot.
But there were dancers behind, like the bartenders
the bar.
Were there, and then there was a little strip of area that the dancers.
We'll use that.
I never made it to 40 Deuce either, so I don't
you didn't?
Know.
Really?
Wow. Cats never made it.
Oh my
Hand
gosh.
Up! I never did.
Wait a minute! I'm actually the only person one. Here that has
Tell
been to 40
Deuce. Tell us about 40
Deuce. Well, and there would be the bar, and then in one corner there was a little bit, and there would be some sort of a trio or a band that would play.
That's what we'll have. Yes.
And then the girls would come out from a couple stairs, and they basically just had like a long, thin runway, and then they had a bunch of draped like beads and stuff like that that they would dance with. But they were literally dancing behind the bar on an elevator.
Yeah, I think the structure hasn't changed much, you know, probably the decor. But yeah, it's a small stage. We'll have 3-4-piece band. We're adding some different. They also have like a little stage up front, like when people walk in, it's like a little. They call it a niche, a little picture window. We'll put a couple, we'll do a little axe over there. So it's very creative. You know, it's not you're not coming to Boot Scoot Boogie. You're coming to listen and drink and smoke and admire and make crazy deals. And
you have a huge cigar selection.
I know that. A huge
whiskey selection.
Right? So you'll see, you'll hear, you know, a couple of tunes from Ain't Misbehaving. You'll hear some current tunes, Made Ragtime, made New Orleans vintage style. So it's just a lot of creativity that we're working on.
Tell us about the dancers. Who's going to be, how many, and where they come from?
I believe there's 6 to 7 dancers. Some come from Peep Show.
I'm trying to think of some people. Sophia Monica.
Sophia Monica, she's singing, and she's in Zombie Burlesque.
Wow.
So she's making it happen, too. She's running over and making it happen.
Oh, she's going to do the Zombie Burlesque and this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I heard she's awesome.
Yeah, we're all keeping our day job.
Yeah, this thing gets going.
I mean, this is America.
Up.
You got to work. This is feast or famine. If you're blessed to have more than one, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
They took some Cirque. Did they take some Cirque du Soleil people? Some
yes,
dancers
Anya.
From Cirque also?
Okay. Anya over right. there. Uh-huh. Well, we were going to start, the thing is it was going to, and it still may go that way, a late, late show, and it just kind of shifted in time.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be a little bit earlier than midnight, but there's 2 segments. So,
and talking to her, Holly, she wanted to start really late, like
after 1 or 2, and things, you know,
right
things, in there. Things change, you know, right now we want to get the doors open and get people in there to just kind of fill it out and see what people are liking, because sometimes you don't know what's going to work until you try it out. You may think, oh, that's a great number, and it doesn't work, and then maybe a number you're like, I don't know, and people love it.
Yeah.
So you get in there, and you hear from the people, let the people decide.
Now, is Holly performing?
Holly will be performing. She'll be performing a couple numbers, and they have group numbers, and she has a little song she does, and she's a great businesswoman. You know, she's sweet as pie, and she's excited about this project. And she's been fun to work with. You know, she's just a delight to work with. And I always am encouraged by women who are taking their own destiny.
Sure, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
Their own destiny in their hands. So you're going to hear, you know, it's going to be music from Great Gatsby, the new Great Gatsby CD.
Yeah.
Love it. The music produced by Jay-Z. So you'll have the old school vibe with some new school feel and everything else in between.
Love it.
So, but a speakeasy is all about taboo, you know, and like different differences come. It was a time where people may not been from the same track and they came together and they all experienced this outlaw.
Prohibition. Yeah.
This prohibition, you know. So, you know, you think Cotton Club, Harlem Nights, The Great Gatsby, you know, Bonnie and Clyde. So there's so many elements from that era, from the 20s. Really to the 30s that you can touch on. So many different levels of music and fashion.
So we should all wear our fringe flapper dresses
exactly.
And
it's
little feathers
time.
In our hair.
I mean, it's the beginning of the mafia. I mean, it's so much history that we are affected by today. I know a lot of things happened in the 40s and 50s and 60s, but probably from 1919 to the 30s, you know, even going up to the Harlem Renaissance, there was so much evolution of music, you know, the jazz era, you know, the blues, you know, the blues music, you know, new laws and prohibition. It's just so much that we're still, you know, affected by. So it's gonna be fun.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it's going to be a rollicking good time.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitis with Trish McCrone and Sky D. Miles, new of 1923 Bourbon and Burlesque by Holly Madison. Are you working mostly with Gene on the creative part of this, or how do they actually direct you? Who's actually
everybody,
giving you directives?
Well, Gene's the artistic director, and Holly has, it's her show, so she has her creative points, and they've allowed me to, have some say. So it all just kind of comes together and we'll see what comes out in the wash.
So you know, when exactly do the shows start? Like what, if people want to get there?
10:30.
10:30 is the first show, and then probably around midnight, a little after midnight, would be the second show.
Yeah, it's going to be vignettes. So you'll have possibly like 30 minutes of performances, and then you'll have the band playing, or you'll have a DJ.
So kind of like it was at 40. I mean, you guys don't know.
We weren't at 40 Deuce.
At 40 Deuce,
we're at the new place, 1923.
I know that it closed in 2009 before I could get there. That's what
every
I know about
every
40
once
Deuce.
In a while, a girl would come out and she would do her burlesque number.
Right.
And the band would go, and then sometimes it would be quieter, and they'd have music, or the band would just play a little bit,
right.
And then all of a sudden it would be spotlights, loud music, and the girls would do their, their routines.
Yeah. So it'll be that vignette. And there'll be party music to make you feel good, and there'll be music to lay back to. And like I said, there'll be secrets being, deals being made.
There'll be canoodling.
Murders plotted.
Yes, canoodling, kibitzing.
Nothing galvanizes the culture like the thought of illegal alcohol.
Yes.
That's what I used to say about these speakeasies.
Alcohol going on.
Yeah, that's what draws everybody.
If Robert Redford or Leonardo DiCaprio just happened to be in there, both Jake Gatsby's, that'd be a Gatsby palooza.
There's so much lust.
Exactly.
Lasciviousness is going to be going on in 1923.
Yeah, I got to go clothes shopping. That's one thing.
Yes, and they really, you know, from talking to Robert, who's the owner, one of the owners, they really, you know, wanting people to, you know, bring back Vegas where people dressed up and, you know, and I think a lot of tourists come with their outfits, but there's nowhere to go. You know, they get here and they're kind of like, oh, well, I don't really need to wear my $500 gown that I paid for to come to Vegas. So they don't wear it because it's just a lot of clubs, a lot of clubs that are for 20-year-olds and not really.
That is my pet peeve of life, is when you go to a show and you look and you see someone in shorts and flip-flops. I am literally, it is like the bane of my existence.
I know. So I know they're hoping that this will encourage people to put on their really nice, you know,
their
nice
clothes.
So is
there going to be a dress code? Like, there are clubs that people can't do tennis shoes.
I think on the weekends they're going to have a
That's a good question, if they're going to actually have to state one. You know, I mean, it's so obvious that this is a place where you probably shouldn't wear the shorts and
you
flip-flops.
You shouldn't wear
obvious.
Well, no, they
do
that in clubs. I mean, I know that there's been times when people would tell, you know, like when that whole thing was in with the suits and the tennis shoes, you know, the, I don't know if it still is in. It may be.
Right.
But like the Justin Timberlake, when that whole thing came out where he was wearing suits and the, you know, in the tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And that I remember being with a friend of mine and he couldn't get into a club. Because of the tennis shoes.
Well, I think they should make it exclusive to that. I think that there's enough places to go with your flip flops and your Hawaiian shirt and your shorts.
Yeah.
And
Margaritaville.
Right. I have on flip flops now, but I don't think that if you're coming
or
to
Cats with a Dish,
a speakeasy that's making drinks from scratch and cigars, wrapping your cigars, you want to dress up. And I think that most people want to dress up.
Yeah.
When they come to Vegas, they're thinking about the movies they've seen where women dressed up and men dressed up. But when you don't have anything that's saying that's what we want you to do, there's no place for a lot of people to go anyway that are over probably 35, because most people don't want to be in a nightclub where it's...
Mm-hmm. When I get to 35, I will feel that way. And
exactly.
I already feel that way, even though I'm not there yet.
I mean, this
yet,
is open.
I
mean, it's going to be hip enough for all ages. I mean, it's going
to
be hip.
But it would be
music.
Nice to have a more sophisticated place to go and hang out. Because,
but they do dress for the nightclubs, though. That's the thing. The girls, you know, they have their heels off by the end of the night. But they do dress up.
Another bane of my existence.
For the nightclubs, you know, the younger. Yeah. But there has not been a place where, I guess, to say adults really even can go. So they end up just kind of like wandering around. But if they have a purpose and it's marketed that way, people will come. They'll dress up. They'll go back upstairs and change their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important to feel that you belong.
Yeah, to feel, you know.
You had mentioned Robert. That's Robert Habes. He's one of the co-owners of the Minus Five. The company that owns Minus Five also owns this. So that's for people who are wondering about the scope of it. It'll be not ICE, but it'll be about that size of venue, I feel. You know, from looking at what they've done before.
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of vodka, it's whiskey.
It's whiskey and it's not cold.
You don't have to wear a fur.
Right.
We talked about this, Sky. And how long have you been in Las Vegas now?
7.5, almost 8 years.
Because I know you've been kind of looking for something that would kind of catapult you into another area. Though the lounge show burns, I mean, it is great.
It's amazing.
But,
thank you.
You know, you have been looking for something that would propel you into another, you know, area of entertainment. Is this the thing that will maybe make you get you the next step to be a star?
I feel like it will.
Those guys think you have or can be a star. I know Holly and Gina both said there's a star here with Sky.
That's sweet.
Is this the thing that can,
you know,
can
I
make that happen?
I have a good feeling about it. It's one of those things I knew I couldn't say no. I didn't know how it would work out with where I was working. You know, at Trop, I have 7 people that work with me, and I wasn't gonna just like say hey, bye. Figure it out on your own, because that's not the type of person I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I was blessed to be able to employ people. So even if it didn't, I wanted time. And like I said, Trop's been really good to me, and I'm loyal to them. And everything's business, but but I knew that it was something that I couldn't say no to. I just didn't know how it was going to work. And it's worked out so far. You know, right now, both places are being supportive to my schedule. But yeah, it's one of those things like, oh, okay, my hard work is paying off, you know, like putting that little Tropicana Nights show together and really like investing in it gave me the platform for somebody to see me doing something else. And that's mm-hmm. what you work for, to hope to think. I mean, everything is evolving. Everything is about evolution, you know. Cats and I have talked about, you know, where am I going? What's my next step? It's kind of like when I ended at menopause. It's like, who am I after?
The musical.
The musical, no, yes. Not I haven't personally. Even started.
Not personally.
I don't have one night sweat. But it was that thing when Clint Holmes said, what are you going to do now? Because now you're not in a show. Now you're Sky. So how do you make people know mm-hmm. who Sky is? And that took 4 years, you know, and I'm right there. So I do believe it's a next step, a part of my next journey and destination of where I'm going. Where that level, where that is, I don't know yet, but mm-hmm. definitely
now,
a different platform.
Talk to Sister Tanline here, Black Sunshine.
Sister Tanline.
I love Sky's nickname because I'm known to be the biggest spray tanner in town. I usually do smell like a farm animal right. for like at least a couple days a week when I spray tan. But now you have this. So this is something new. Check. What other dreams do you have for Sky?
I want to start my original. Like, I have a lot of original music, you know. I'm like most singers, you know. I want to record my CD, which be like blues and rock. You know, I kind of pattern myself after Tina Turner, like the person, like I really, you know, I want to be a rock and roll singer, singing the blues and rock and on tour.
And you do it well.
That's one of the things I want to do. I want my own, you know, my own show, you know, which in a way I have those. I mean, I'm getting at least be featured and get paid well for what I do. You know, I want, you know, I have a dream like, you know, having a contract that a lot of the male performers have had in this town. I want to be one of the first females, one of the first Black women to have like a contract in this town and doing her show. And I want to be able to employ people. You know, I want to produce shows and things like that. So it's like a gamut of things that I want to do, because as you get, I won't sing forever, but I want to sing this for as long as I can. But I want to be able to, you know, mentor other performers and put entertainment back where it belongs, which is on a stage, you know, mm-hmm. and people being treated with respect for the talent, mm-hmm. you know, and not about, and nothing against, you know, DJs or anything like that. But when you live in a town that's entertainment capital of the world and you have the majority of musicians not working,
yep.
you know, I really want that to change. And I think the more you have shows, especially like a small show like what we're doing at 1923 and even at Tropicana, taking that lounge performance to another level, which they used to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, 15 years ago,
it was a training ground for the big rooms.
And when people see that and they start to expect that, they're going to come back and ask the casinos, hey, where is mm-hmm. this entertainment? Because I saw it down there at Trop, or I saw it over there at, you know, Mandalay Bay at 1923, and they're going to start demanding that. Once they start to see it yes. again, but,
right.
but it was wiped out.
Will be
the expectations, like, yeah. I don't have to go do that. Well,
I can tell you, we're working on a story about the lounge culture in this city in Las Vegas Weekly right now. I just started reporting it. It's going to be very interesting. I've been hitting the lounges extra hard lately. So we got to wrap it up now, Sky, but thrilled for you, this opportunity
Thank
for you.
You.
We can't wait to see this place
Yay!
Open. And it starts Thursday. It's called 1923, the year. Bourbon and Burlesque by Holly Madison. It's at Mandalay Bay, featuring Sky D. Miles, and we'll have you back as the thing gets up and running, all right?
Thank you, John.
We love you,
You've
Sky.
Been so supportive. Thank you. See you guys there.